I don't like to interrupt the interviews, so here's a quick message before we get started. Do you organize conferences or trade shows? What if you could create fully branded name badges with unique QR codes in only two clicks, without a complex and expensive badge printing process that also includes on-site badging? What if your sponsors and exhibitors could download a smartphone app to scan badges and capture leads? No rented hardware or expensive on-site support, and real-time leads ready for import into their CRM systems. That's Curious. To learn more about the Curious smartphone-based lead retrieval, attendance tracking, and badging solutions, visit snapcapture.net. Welcome to the EventTech Podcast, live coverage of PlanerTech 2013. We're downtown New York City at the Convene space at 32 Old Slip. It's a great little space. We love it. Lots of toys to play with. And joining me right now is Devin Drake, the CEO of VirtuVent. We want to talk with Devin about, his presentation, and then learn a little bit more about how this thing called hybrid events and how they got that name and why I hate it so much. But Devin's topic was taking your event online. Devin, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hopefully I will maintain my voice before this day is over. So, Devin, I got a chance to sit in partly. I went on okay. Just after you, so I sort of listened to some and then ran around the other side and listened to some more and so on. So, VirtuVent, you guys produce hybrid events. So, first of all, what does it mean to take your event online? And then explain to me, what the process is, at least from your perspective, and maybe from the perspective of old school producers as well.
Sure. So, taking your event online really means using online video as a tool to really stretch the reach of your event. So, if you're having a conference in a venue, you use video to engage an audience who perhaps can't come, so people who are watching live, but also attendees that come to the event but want to access that content afterwards. So, it's really just a way to take a 3-day conference, for example, and stretch it into 3 to 6 months.
Sure, and I've heard people refer to the recorded video as the virtual ticket, because many times there are so many at many conferences there are so many tracks going on at the same time,
right?
And people have this challenge of having to choose, right? This dilemma.
Yeah.
And with this sort of thing, they don't have to choose, right? They can always go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
Later.
I mean, this is especially for associations. It's a great example where you have, 5, 6, 10, 11 tracks. You can only go to one as an attendee. So video is kind of a key tool to really grant access to that content after the fact. And especially where the content is educational, which in a lot of cases for conferences it is, you want to be able to access that content afterwards. It's really valuable. So video is a great way to do that.
Sure, and I would imagine for some associations, especially those dealing in medical or legal professions where there's continuing education credits, it's especially important.
It's a big part of it. So what we're saying to a lot of event companies is by default, you should be offering all of your attendees access to all of the tracks after the fact via video. And the really nice thing about that for events is it's not just a value add to really make your attendees happy, but you can charge people for it. So an attendee is pretty happy that if they're paying $1,000 to attend a conference, to pay an extra $49.99 to get access to all of the content after the fact. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, so how does that play out? So, okay, so I'm an old school media producer, right? I know what it is to play with gadgets and stream video. It's not about me, but it is about some of the things that I've done in my past. We've done weird, crazy things with video early on. Like, we're talking like 1995, like crazy stuff. I know what it is to do that. It's difficult. It's expensive.
Right.
So $49.95 per attendee, that's going to cover it? I mean, how many attendees do you have? 1 million? I'm obviously kidding, but it doesn't seem like that would be enough.
Well, it's the cost of content that's come down. That's kind of the key thing here. So traditionally, to create video content, you've got to bring in camera crews, you've got to have a producer. If you're going live, you've got to have somebody who's mixing between camera angles. That's where the complexity comes in, and that's where the bulk of the cost comes in. So we've come up with the technology to basically put cameras in venue, send those video feeds into the cloud and mix them remotely. So instead of needing a 10-person crew, you can get by with one person who sets up the cameras, connects everything up, and then we take it from there. So with the cost coming down, as an event that has 11 tracks, instead of spending $100,000 creating all that content, you're spending significantly less. And, you know, back to that $49.99 figure, I mean, that's just an example. But if you're a 3,000 attendee conference and you're charging $49.99 times 3,000, you're bringing in enough revenue to make some money as an event, but also pay for the content to be created and pay for the technology to facilitate the process.
Sure. And so in my world, and in my mindset, you would, if you were going to stream something, you would get yourself a TriCaster, right?
Right.
You must know a TriCaster.
Yeah.
You know, and for those who don't know, a TriCaster is like this thing, and you plug a bunch of cameras into it, and you could mix video and so on. But what you guys do is so cool. You basically, you know, I'm going to coin a phrase, have a TriCaster in the cloud.
That's
right?
Exactly what we do.
You take all the video feeds as they into your operation center,
right?
And then you'll mix them and do all the things there without having to have that all that additional hardware and expense and people on site.
That's correct. So we get involved in that element of the chain where we are, as you say, a TriCaster in the cloud, which is great because we're bringing the costs down. But we're going further than that. We're actually taking the content once it's been produced and we're pulling it into an environment that's fully branded for the event, that could sit on the event domain, that allows people to log in to access content, that has permissions to say, you know, a certain category of content can be accessed by this group of people, whereas, you know, another category of content can be accessed by a different group. So we're really getting involved in the distribution of that content as well and delivery to devices, sort of a couple of steps above what other companies are doing, like Ustream or Livestream, which is sort of more just get your content online.
Sure, and I'm glad you brought that up, because so that's typically what I would do, right? If I had a meetup and a tech talk happening, right, with a
right.
single speaker, you know, I'd get a high-end webcam and I'd you know, tape it to a, because usually they don't even come with a tripod, right? And I would tape it to a tripod and I would press, you know, record, and it would go out to Ustream and that would be the end of it. But it's a much higher quality.
Could you please call us the next time you want to tape a webcam to a...
Well, keep in mind, this is, you know, I used to produce, you know, meetups here in New York, and this was just, you know, a local beer
right.
pizza kind of thing, and
right.
we decided to just do that because we could, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily do that here, you know.
No.
It's not appropriate for an event
no.
of this caliber.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's interesting. So let's just go back quickly to come on some of the stats you threw out there. The most significant one to me, I believe, was that only 8%, you said. What was the 8% figure?
The 8% was for the number of events that are actually using video as a sort of a strategy for marketing and for engagement and monetization currently.
And so, and you're saying the reason behind that is what?
Is cost and features.
And based on the, and it's based on, well, because they haven't met you yet, but it's based, I'm half joking when I say that, but that is their perception, and so
right.
they just don't even explore it. Is that?
You know, we actually started this company talking to the top end of the market. So, you know, we were dealing with the World Banks and, you know, mm-hmm. the big associations and, you know, the enterprise. And we got used to those kind of budgets. I mean, you know, someone's putting down $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for, you know, some content and some tech. But through that, we also engaged a lot of different kinds of customers. And you start to throw those figures
right.
around.
There's a dance. There's not a dance party here for those of you listening in.
Sexy Back is playing.
That is the music they're playing, I believe, to get people back in the auditorium. I'm not sure. But I'm hoping they remember that we're recording here. All right, we'll just make it happen. So, big budget. You used to work with big budgets and decided what the
right.
market, that kind of market couldn't sustain itself.
Yeah, so that's what we got used to. We figured that there was no scalability in that model. You know, there is a very small number of events that have those kind of budgets to throw around, and that's why we changed the model completely. So, by bringing those costs down, we're hoping that 8% figure grows to, you know, 50, 60, 70%, where the cost to take your event online is so small that it's a no-brainer and that it becomes the status quo.
Right, exactly. It becomes something that's almost expected at every event, whether it's bundled and free or it's a la carte or whatever it might be. It just becomes the norm.
But the key thing here is entertainment value as well, because what's important, especially about with live content, is that you can't just put a camera up and connect the feed and expect people to sit there and watch it. It's not entertaining. And that's where, if you can come up with a way to produce entertaining content cheaply, then you've got something.
Sure. And then, if you don't mind, we're going to try and deal with the music for now. Just lean a little bit closer to your mic.
Sure.
Thank you. So, so the entertainment value, because, so right, because instead of just running a stream and all the dead spots that happen with that and all the technical difficulties and all that,
right.
You know, you can not only produce something of high quality in real time, but then you can also handle post-production and put that out for consumption later on.
Exactly. And in most cases, if you're producing live content properly, you don't really need to do post. So you can, you know, cut the beginning and the end and cut out the breaks and add some logos. And for the most part, for 90% of customers, that's good enough for on-demand viewing.
Sure.
So the turnaround time for content then is you know, an hour, as opposed to going through post-production and it being
right.
a week.
Right. There's nothing like doing that. It's nice to take you know, cheap consumer-grade webcams and do a three-camera shoot, but the editing is just ungodly.
That's a pain.
You can't do it. But
and it's expensive.
And it's expensive, yeah. So what you're doing is it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. So let me ask the big question, which I know so many people are concerned with. Let me rephrase that. I don't know if they're actually concerned with, but a lot of bloggers have been trying to get a lot of page views based on this. So what is your thought around people, about the concern that people will not attend events?
It's a big question.
If it's being streamed live or it's captured for viewing later?
That's all about marketing and packaging, to be honest. We've not yet, in our experience, had a client who's come back and said, you know, we spent this money, we took the event online, and our ticket, you know, numbers decreased by 20%. It's never happened. And the reason for that is, if you're an event and you're worried that you're not going to fulfill your registration quota, then don't market your live access 6 months out. You know, market mm-hmm. it a month out when you've sold 95% of your tickets.
Right.
You know, if you're not that event where there's a lot of, you know, if there's a lot of demand to actually attend your show, then it doesn't really matter. So it really just comes down to marketing at the correct time and packaging it correctly. Also, if you're going to market your live event 6 months out and your event costs $500, then make sure the live stream is $250. You know,
right?
Come up with a way to incentivize people to either come or don't come and pay. But you know, either way, fit it into the model that you know is going to work on your balance sheet.
Right. I agree with that. And I've seen a lot of events where that's exactly what they'll do. They either charge an exorbitant fee for it, where it's still cheaper than attending, but it's pretty darn close to an actual ticket.
Yeah.
Or also what you said, they'll wait until, you know, 2 months out, a month out,
right,
before they actually promote it.
Yeah.
And even then, they promote it as a benefit of attendance. This is what I've seen. Again,
yeah,
going back to the whole multi-track thing, is that you don't have to miss anything. And that's a big deal. And let's face it, you know, sure, there are some conferences where the people that are in attendance with you, you know, hanging out with them is like watching paint dry, okay? But for the most part, you know, you also can't replace the other stuff that goes on at these events.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, the handshake is irreplaceable. You've got to come and put in FaceTime with people that matter, you know, connect and whatnot. And that's not something that we're trying to replace. We're not trying to be, you know, the virtual event so that you don't have to, you know, go to the event and meet people. We're trying to stretch the value of events that actually go on inside venues.
Sure, sure. I get that, and I'm surprised that only 8% of people currently get that, but the way I look at it is you've got plenty of room to grow.
Well, 8% of people don't want to pay the invoice.
So if cost is not an issue?
8% do want to pay. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
92% don't want to pay.
Do not want to pay.
Up until now.
Up until, well, exactly.
Yeah.
So well, let's go to that final number then. So I heard you throw something out in your talk to the effect of streaming a live event for under $1,000.
Right.
Is that true? What does that look like?
No, really, it's under $1,000 if we're sending content straight to the cloud and we're doing one venue with three cameras, putting one consultant in and then mixing offsite. $100,000.
Okay, now I don't want to know costs. What's your setup here? You guys are capturing
what we're doing today.
Yeah,
we're not streaming today.
Okay.
What I've mentioned about taking content into the cloud, we're launching it next week. So
I
thought I'd give like a, you know, a teaser.
I did hear that. That's right. I'm sorry okay. So tell me the size and the character of that event. I'm curious. You don't have to tell me what it is if it's.
Oh sure. I think it's a 500 delegate tech conference with
okay.
three concurrent tracks. I think we're doing either two or three HD multicam.
Okay.
We're mixing in presentations in real time. We're mixing in lower thirds in real time. We're also mixing in presenter content in real time.
Okay.
But there'll literally be, I think, either one camera operator out of four, three cameras, and maybe one sort of technical director to make sure that everything runs smoothly. But that's it.
But that's it. So across three tracks, three simultaneous tracks,
yeah,
with a multi-camera shoot in each room, plus presenter content.
Yes.
And the audio feeds.
Yes.
That's the entire staff.
Yes.
Sign me up. Okay, I like that. Very cool. I'm glad we met, because I've always love the solution, and you can you know, use that TriCaster in the cloud thing. No, I'm just kidding. You can't actually use that, because TriCaster would sue you. But that's what comes to mind.
Well, maybe TriCaster will buy us. Hey guys.
Hey, startups. Yes, we're a startup as well, and believe me, that's always thoughts like that always come you know, through our minds.
Yeah, so. I'm kidding.
So excellent. So all right, before we wrap up, we're going to learn a little bit more about Devin Drake.
Sure.
So how did you end up here, doing what you're doing? How did you end up starting this company? What was the impetus behind it?
I started the company about 2 years ago. You can hear I'm not from the U.S., so I'm South African. We started in Cape Town, working with the International Convention Center out there. Mm-hmm. And I have a pretty long background in video, coming from commercials, coming from post-production consulting. So there was a big association client that came into the convention center. They wanted to take their event online, and the in-house staff had no idea. So they called me and they said, you know how to do this? And I said, absolutely. And then I got on the phone right afterwards and called someone in New York and said, I have no idea
how this is going to work. That's the sign of a true entrepreneur. You say, yeah, what's the phrase? You sell the ticket, you build the airplane later.
Yes. Right. So, you know, I got on the phone and just try to figure out, you know, I know how to create content, but how do we get this stuff online and how to deliver it to different devices? And, you know, how does the bandwidth thing work? I mean, stuff's complicated. So, long story short, we end up doing the event. It goes off like a house on fire. I mean, we did three concurrent venues, multicam shoot, three different languages per venue, French, Spanish, and English, all going to the cloud, all being delivered to different devices. So we did it, and I thought, well, you know, this is interesting. Let's see if we can turn this into a business. So I spent quite a lot of time just, you know, almost running production services for large events. But eventually we realized that the opportunity wasn't just in production. It was very much on the technology side. You know, controlling how people access content, giving events tools to actually control the distribution of that content, and then figuring out a way to lower the hurdles to production, you know, cost right. inhibitions.
Sure.
So built it from there. I'd say about a year later, I decided to move the company to New York, and now we run our startup out of the city. We still service clients all over the world, but you know, we're based here, and you know, that's it.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I enjoyed your talk very much. And if I haven't said it again, has said it once, I'll say it again. I'm definitely going to check out VirtueVent, because it's right up my alley. So
sure, please do. That.
All right, excellent. This has been the Event Tech Podcast, live coverage of PlanarTech 2013 in downtown New York City at Convene. Thanks for joining us.